the Lord's presence was greatly among us. I desired the people to remember the mercies of the Lord, who had delivered them, for they might have been all in the Turks' hands by that time, had not the Lord's hand saved them. About a week after, the master and some of the seamen endeavored to persuade the passengers that it was not a Turkish pirate that had chased us, but a merchantman going to the Canaries. When I heard of it, I asked them, "Why then did you speak so to me? Why did you trouble the passengers? Why did you tack about from him and alter your course?" I told them they should take heed of slighting the mercies of God. Afterwards, while we were at Barbados, there came in a merchant from Sali and told the people that one of the Sali men of war saw a monstrous yacht at sea, the greatest that ever he saw, and had her in chase and was just upon her, but that there was a spirit in her that he could not take. This confirmed us in the belief that it was a Sali man we saw make after us, and that it was the Lord that delivered us out of his hands. The third of the eighth month, early in the morning, we discovered the island of Barbados, but it was between 9 and 10 at night, ere we came to anchor in Carlisle Bay. We got on shore as soon as we could, and I with some others walked to the house of a friend, a merchant whose name was Richard Forstall, above a quarter of a mile from the bridge. But being very ill and weak, I was so tired that I was in a manner spent by the time I got thither. There I abode ill several days, and though they several times gave me things to make me sweat, they could not effect it. What they gave me did rather parch and dry up my body, and made me probably worse than otherwise I might have been. Thus I continued about 3 weeks after I landed, having much pain in my bones, joints, and whole body, so that I could hardly get any rest. Yet I was pretty cheery, and my spirit kept above it all. Neither did my illness take me off from the service of truth, but both while I was at sea and after I came to Barbados, before I was able to travel about, I gave forth several papers, having a friend to write for me, some of which I sent by the first conveyance for England to be printed. Soon after I came into the island, I was informed of a remarkable passage wherein the justice of God did eminently appear. It was thus. There was a young man of Barbados whose name was John Drakes, a person of some note in the world's account, but a common swearer and a bad man, who, when he was in London, had a mind to marry a friend's daughter, left by her mother very young, with a considerable portion, to the care and government of several friends, whereof I was one. He made application to me that he might have my consent to marry this young maid. I told him I was one of her overseers, appointed by her mother, who was a widow, to take care of her, that if her mother had intended her for a match to any man of another profession, she would have disposed her accordingly. But she committed her to us, that she might be trained up in the fear of the Lord, and therefore I should betray the trust reposed in me if I should consent that he, who was out of the fear of God, should marry her, and this I would not do. When he saw that he could not obtain his desire, he returned to Barbados with great offense of mind against me, but without a just cause. Afterwards, when he heard I was coming to Barbados, he swore desperately, and threatened that if he could possibly procure it, he would have me burned to death when I came there. A friend, hearing of this, asked him what I had done to him that he was so violent against me. He would not answer, but said again, "I'll have him burned." Whereupon the friend replied, "Do not march on too furiously, lest thou come too soon to thy journey's end." About 10 days after he was struck with a violent burning fever, of which he died, by which his body was so scorched that the people said it was as black as coal. And 3 days before I landed, his body had laid in the dust. This was taken notice of as a sad example. While I continued so weak that I could not go abroad to meetings, the other friends that came over with me bestirred themselves in the Lord's work. The next day but one after we came on shore, they had a great meeting at the bridge, and after that several meetings in different parts of the island, which alarmed the people of all sorts, so that many came to our meetings, and some of the chiefest rank, for they had got my name, understanding I was come upon the island, and expected to see me, not knowing I was unable to go abroad. And indeed my weakness continued the longer on me, because my spirit was much pressed down at the first with the filth and dirt, and with the unrighteousness of the people, which lay as an heavy weight and load upon me. But after I had been above a month upon the island, my spirit became somewhat easier. I began to recover my health and strength, and to get abroad among friends. Footnote 200. As George Fox was too ill to travel, the meetings for worship and for business were held at the house where he was staying. At these meetings he gave much valuable counsel. Here he met with slavery and dealt with it. I desired them also that they would cause their overseers to deal mildly and gently with their Negroes, and not use cruelty towards them as the manner of some hath been and is, and that after certain years of servitude they would make them free. After I was able to go about and had been a little amongst friends, I went to visit the governor, Lewis Morris, Thomas Rouse, and some other friends being with me. He received us very civilly and treated us very kindly, making us dine with him and keeping us the greater part of the day before he let us go away. The same week I went to Bridgetown. There was to be a general meeting of friends that week, and the visit I had made to the governor and the kind reception I had with him, being generally known to the officers, civil and military, many came to this meeting from most parts of the island, and those not of the meanest rank, several being judges or justices, colonels or captains, so that a very great meeting we had, both of friends and others. The Lord's blessed power was plentifully with us, and although I was somewhat straitened for time, three other friends having spoken before me, yet the Lord opened things through me to the general and great satisfaction of them that were present. Colonel Lewis Morris came to this meeting, and with him a neighbor of his, a judge in the country, whose name was Ralph Fretwell, who was very well satisfied and received the truth. Paul Gwynn, a jangling Baptist, came into the meeting and asked me how I spelt Cain, and whether I had the same spirit as the apostles had. I told him yes, and he bade the judge take notice of it. Reader's footnote. How I spelt Cain, that's C-A-I-N. I told him that he hath not a measure of the same Holy Ghost as the apostles had, is possessed with an unclean spirit, and then he went his way. We had many great and precious meetings, both for worship and for the affairs of the church, to the former of which many of other societies came. At one of these meetings, Colonel Lynn, a sober person, was so well satisfied with what I declared that he said, "Now I can gainsay such as I have heard speak evil of you, who say you do not own Christ, nor that he died, whereas I perceive you exalt Christ in all his offices beyond what I have ever heard before." Footnote 2001. In order that it might be positively clear that he exalted Christ in all his offices, he wrote an extended letter to the governor of Barbados. The letter takes the form of a declaration of faith and is often referred to as an authoritative statement of the belief of friends. It was, however, not written for that purpose, and it is not by any means a full statement of their belief. It does not even mention the principle which held the leading place in all Fox's teachings and preachings. The letter to the governor was written to clear friends from false charges, and it dwells solely on the points on which Fox is rumored to be unsound or charged with dangerous teaching. The earliest declaration of faith of the Quakers was issued by Christopher Holder, John Copeland, and Richard Dowdney from Boston Prison in 1657. The earliest statement issued in England was Richard Farnworth's Confession and Profession of Faith in God, London, 1658. As I have been to visit the governor as soon as I was well able, after I came thither, so when I was at Thomas Rouse's, the governor came to see me, carrying himself very courteously. Having been 3 months or more in Barbados, and having visited friends, thoroughly settled meetings, and dispatched the service for which the Lord brought me thither, I felt my spirit clear of that island, and found drawings to Jamaica. When I had communicated this to friends, I acquainted the governor also, and divers of his council, that I intended shortly to leave the island and go to Jamaica. This I did that as my coming thither was open and public, so my departure also might be. Before I left the island, I wrote the following letter to my wife that she might understand both how it was with me and how I proceeded in my travels. My dear heart, to whom is my love and to all the children, in the seed of life that changeth not, but is over all. Blessed be the Lord forever. I have undergone great sufferings in my body and spirit, beyond words, but the God of heaven be praised, his truth is over all. I am now well, and if the Lord permit, within a few days I pass from Barbados towards Jamaica, and I think to stay but little there. I desire that ye may be all kept free in the seed of life, out of all cumbrances. Friends are generally well. Remember me to friends that inquire after me. So no more, but my love in the seed and life that changeth not. Barbados, 6th of 11th month, 1671, G.F. I set sail from Barbados to Jamaica on the 8th of the 11th month, 1671. Robert Witters, William Edmondson, Solomon Eccles, and Elizabeth Houghton going with me. Thomas Briggs and John Stubbs remained in Barbados, with whom were John Rouse and William Bailey. We had a quick and easy passage to Jamaica, where we met again with our friends James Lancaster, John Cartwright, and George Patterson, who had been laboring there in the service of truth, into which we forthwith entered with them, traveling up and down through the island, which is large, and a brave country it is, though the people are, many of them, debauched and wicked. We had much service. There was a great convincement, and many received the truth, some of whom were people of account in the world. We had many meetings there which were large and very quiet. The people were civil to us, so that not a mouth was opened against us. I was twice with the governor and some other magistrates, who all carried themselves kindly towards me. About a week after we landed in Jamaica, Elizabeth Houghton, a woman of great age, who had traveled much in truth service and suffered much for it, departed this life. She was well the day before she died and departed in peace, like a lamb, bearing testimony to truth at her departure. When we had been about 7 weeks in Jamaica, had brought friends into pretty good order and settled several meetings amongst them, we left Solomon Eccles there. The rest of us embarked for Maryland, leaving friends and truth prosperous in Jamaica, the Lord's power being over all and his blessed seed reigning. Before I left Jamaica, I wrote another letter to my wife as follows. My dear heart, to whom is my love and to the children, in that which changeth not, but is over all, and to all friends in those parts. I have been in Jamaica about 5 weeks. Friends here are generally well, and there is a convincement, but things would be too large to write of. Sufferings in every place attend me, but the blessed seed is over all. The great Lord be praised, who is Lord of sea and land, and of all things therein. We intend to pass from hence about the beginning of next month toward Maryland, if the Lord please. Dwell all of you in the seed of God, in his truth, I rest in love to you all. G.F., Jamaica, 23rd of 12th month, 1671. We went on board on the 8th of first month, 1671, too, and having contrary winds, were a full week sailing forwards and backwards before we could get out of sight of Jamaica. Footnote 202, this is March 8, 1672. A difficult voyage this proved and dangerous, especially in passing through the Gulf of Florida, where we met with many trials by winds and storms. But the great God, who is Lord of the sea and land, and who rideth upon the wings of the wind, did by his power preserve us through many and great dangers, when by extreme stress of weather our vessel was many times likely to be upset, and much of her tacking broken. And indeed we were sensible that the Lord was a God at hand, and that his ear was open to the supplications of his people. For when the winds were so strong and boisterous, and the storms and tempests so great, that the sailors knew not what to do, but let the ship go which way she would, then did we pray unto the Lord, who graciously heard us, calmed the winds and seas, gave us seasonable weather, and made us to rejoice in his salvation. Blessed and praised be the holy name of the Lord, whose power hath dominion over all, whom the winds and the seas obey. We were between 6 and 7 weeks in this passage from Jamaica to Maryland. Some days before we came to land, after we had entered the bay of Patuxent River, a great storm arose, which cast a boat upon us for shelter, in which were several people of account in the world. We took them in, but the boat was lost, with 500 pounds worth of goods in it, as they said. They continued on board several days, not having any means to get off, and we had a very good meeting with them in the ship. But provisions grew short, for they brought none with them, and ours, by reason of the length of our voyage, were well nigh spent when they came to us, so that with their living with us too, we had now little or none left. Whereupon George Patterson took a boat and ventured his life to get to shore. The hazard was so great that all but friends concluded he would be cast away. Yet it pleased the Lord to bring him safe to land, and in a short time after, the friends of the place came to fetch us to land also, in a seasonable time, for our provisions were quite spent. We partook also of another great deliverance in this voyage, through the good providence of the Lord, which we came to understand afterwards. For when we were determined to come from Jamaica, we had our choice of two vessels that were both bound for the same coast. One of these was a frigate, the other a yacht. The master of the frigate, we thought, asked unreasonably for our passage, which made us agree with the master of the yacht, who offered to carry us 10 shillings apiece cheaper than the other. We went on board the yacht, and the frigate came out together with us, intending to be consorts during the voyage. For several days we sailed together, but with calms and contrary winds we were soon separated. After that, the frigate, losing her way, fell among the Spaniards, by whom she was taken and plundered, and the master and mate made prisoners. Afterwards, being retaken by the English, she was sent home to her owners in Virginia. When we came to understand this, we saw and admired the providence of God, who preserved us out of our enemies' hands, and he that was covetous fell among the covetous. Here we found John Burneyeat, intending shortly to sail for England, but on our arrival he altered his purpose and joined us in the Lord's service. Footnote 203. John Burneyeat traveled extensively and did much valuable work in America. See the Journal of John Burneyeat, reprinted in Volume 2 of the Friends Library. He had appointed a general meeting for all the friends in the province of Maryland, that he might see them together and take his leave of them before he departed out of the country. It was so ordered by the good providence of God that we landed just in time to reach that meeting, by which means we had a very seasonable opportunity of taking the friends of the province together. A very large meeting this was, and it held 4 days, to which, besides friends, came many other people, several of whom were of considerable quality in the world's account. There were 5 or 6 justices of the peace, the speaker of their assembly, one of their council, and others of note, who seemed well satisfied with the meeting. After the public meetings were over, the men and women's meetings began, wherein I opened to friends the service thereof to their great satisfaction. After this we went to the cliffs, where another general meeting was appointed. We went some of the way by land, the rest by water, and a storm arising, our boat was run aground, in danger of being beat to pieces, and the water came in upon us. I was in a great sweat, having come very hot out of a meeting before, and now was wet with the water besides. Yet having faith in the divine power, I was preserved from taking hurt. Blessed be the Lord. To this meeting came many who received the truth with reverence. We had also a men's meeting and a woman's meeting. Most of the backsliders came in again, and several meetings were established for taking care of the affairs of the church. After these 2 general meetings, we parted company, dividing ourselves